You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Listening to Cheese and Packers, a project powered by the Packernet Podcast Network. I am your host, JJ Leahy. I'm joined in the studio by the one and only Jake Schvink. He is the host of It's Always Draft Season. That's another Packernet Podcast Network show. If you are listening to this podcast on the Daily Cheese feed and you have not ever checked out the Packernet Podcast Network, do so. We have a fleet of fantastic shows. It's Always Draft Season is actually, I think it's our newest show, but you guys have been going since about a month and a half before the 2022 NFL draft. So that's Jake Schvink and Mason Thompson do that show together. They are killing it. First of all, Jake, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be, I think, be a fun show today, though, that we've got planned.
I will confess, I have been wanting to get you on this show for a while now, but there were no topics that made sense to bring you in on until today. So I'm well aware that a lot of the audience is going, why the heck are you talking about college football? This is a Packers podcast. Let me tell you, first of all, I'm a huge college football fan. What happened today, and for those of you who don't know, I'll fill you in a second on what happened. What happened today is huge seismic news that is going to forever change the landscape of college football. I cannot emphasize enough how huge this is, how much it's going to change college football. That will have an impact on pro football as well. I promise you it's worth talking about. And I also just love talking about college football. Jake, you are an Illinois grad, correct?
I am, indeed.
Big Illinois fan. I am an Ohio State fan. So you're going to get perspective from two Big Ten enthusiasts about what the heck is going on in college football today, specifically the Big Ten. And you're going to get perspective of the big, mean, bully Buckeyes and the fierce fighting how do you say the Illini? Is that how you pronounce
it? Illini.
Illini.
Yep.
I see it written and I never am brave enough to try and pronounce it. So here's what happened. USC and UCLA have joined the Big Ten. Now this is not going to take effect until 2024, but it is official. It is happening. We are recording this Thursday night. About an hour and a half, I think, after the Big Ten presidents voted to accept USC and UCLA into the conference. This is changing things dramatically, and we got to rewind the clock a little bit to what happened a year ago in the Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma left the Big 12. Again, that's not going to take effect until what season? 2023, I think, for them.
Yes.
I think it's 23.
So. Yeah.
And they moved over to the SEC. In response to that, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 got together and they formed a pact that I don't know if it was officially called the Alliance or if that's just what all the media members have been calling it as the Alliance. And basically what the Alliance was just an anti-SEC coalition. We're going to stand up to the SEC because we are afraid of them and what they're doing in terms of trying to take over all of college football. As of today, the Alliance is dead. one of the big, first of all, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who could actually describe to you what the real purpose of the Alliance was. You know, at first we thought, well, it was going to have to do with scheduling. You're going to get cool, out of conference games that are going to be scheduled between the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12. Then they said, well, we're not really doing that. It's more of like an agreement that we're not going to poach each other's schools. Well, that's dead. The Big Ten has poached USC and UCLA, the two most important teams from the Pac-12. Now, you could say, well, what about Oregon? What about Arizona State? What about Utah? Fine football programs, but the Los Angeles teams were massive in terms of the amount of money that the Pac-12 was bringing in, and the media deals and all that. And this is quite possibly a death knell for the Pac-12. We're going to talk about that, talk about the future of the Pac-12, what the heck they're going to do. This is massive for the Big Ten. One thing that's interesting is that the Big Ten is now the first coast-to-coast conference. They got teams in New York. They got teams out in Los Angeles, the two biggest media markets in the U.S. And the biggest reason why I say that this is such a seismic thing is because this is not just a one-time little move. This is the beginning of a lot more to come, because the Big Ten is not just going to be the Midwest and then two satellite teams out in California. That's not where it's going to stay. So, Jake, when we're talking about these two teams from California joining the Big Ten, the first thing that comes to mind for you out of the 50 different questions that are bouncing around your head, what's the first thing that you thought, I need some answers on this topic?
The first thing when I saw this, it was like early this afternoon, was
6 hours ago.
Yeah, it was like USC, Ohio State, mm-hmm. every year potentially would be in a championship game would be crazy. And then it was like, well, are they just going to play the Rose Bowl then, just basically within the conference at the end of the season, and just treat the Big Ten championship almost as the Rose Bowl? Because you kind of said, I feel like two satellite teams isn't going to be where they finish.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of speculation about who's next potentially from that conference, being, you know, teams who have, you know, academically have that standard. You know, Stanford is definitely one of them, Oregon another, like they could be on their way as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much that comes to mind immediately. It was like 30 different things, right? And also, it looks like Oklahoma and Texas, it says 2025. I imagine that happens sooner now because of this.
That would be interesting. I had not thought about that timeline getting moved up. I thought of the Rose Bowl right away, too, even though it's like a silly, kind of meaningless thing. Like, you know what? Let the Rose Bowl worry about themselves. But also, you know, the Rose Bowl is Big Ten versus the Pac-12. Can't imagine that they're super interested anymore. Maybe they are. Are they still interested in holding on to the Pac-12? Is the Rose Bowl? I mean, and UCLA plays in the Rose Bowl as their home stadium. So, and the problem is that one of the hot topics in college football right now is playoff expansion. That's still several years away. They're not making that move right now. They have to let things settle down in terms of the massive shifts that have resulted from the one-time transfer rule and how that has interacted with name, image, and likeness, to where you got players jumping ship and moving around from team to team to team every year. And there's just a lot of craziness going on in college football right now. And so they pumped the brakes on expanding the playoffs. So because of that, the Rose Bowl can't just be a permanent playoff game right now either. But do they really want to just be the Big Ten championship game? I'm not sure, actually. I'm kind of 50-50 on that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll want to just be a conference title game, no matter how big this quote-unquote super conference, potential super conference could be. I think I would imagine, honestly, if the Rose Bowl, I think they would do this potentially. Because I do think, let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, when you think of, like, you know, the two playoff games and what bowl games they are, like, the first one that comes to mind is the Rose Bowl of those New Year's Six games. Yes. And I feel like to have the Rose Bowl as a playoff game every year, yes, it's maybe a little unfair to, you know, the Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl, like all of them. But like, come on. I mean, the Rose Bowl being a semifinal game, if they're delaying the playoff, I think honestly should be a foregone conclusion at this point. If you're going to make this this conference, this Big Ten, Pac-12 kind of super conference together, you might as well just have the Rose Bowl because it's such a historic game, because it's such a game. Mm-hmm. Everybody tunes into it, right? This is New Year's Day in the afternoon. Like, there's no reason that that game, with all the history and all the pageantry around the game, that shouldn't always be a semifinal game anyway. And will be obviously well in the expanded playoff once it gets there. But I do think they should immediately move to say, listen, the Rose Bowl is too good of a game. This is too good of a setting. Just make this a semifinal every year. I know everybody else kind of gets screwed in the process, but honestly, I don't kind of care. I feel like that's the one. If it's not a semifinal game, that's the only one that's not that I might tune into. So,
Yep. I have a list of topics and then listener questions that is about 2.5 pages long. There's no way we're going to get through all this in 1 hour. But looking at listener questions, the question that I got again and again and again from everybody who wrote in, everybody wanted to know what the future of the Pac-12 is going to look like. Does the Pac-12 go the Big 12 route, where when the Big 12 lost Texas and Oklahoma, they went and got four group of five schools, Houston, Baylor, BYU, and Cincinnati. Is that correct? The four? I think it's the four teams.
So, Houston, BYU, UCF, and Cincinnati are the four. Yeah.
Oh, Baylor was already in the Big 12, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay.
But those,
So they lost two teams. They brought in four from the group of five. And I think looking at those programs, those are fine additions. I think those teams were ready to move up to the Power Five. Does the Pac-12 poach from the Mountain West? I think there are certainly some teams, you know, UNLV, Fresno, Colorado State, Boise, San Diego State. There's teams who you could bring in. But what we don't know is, number one, does the Pac-12 kind of loosen some of their academic standards in terms of, you know, in the name of improving the football standings? Or maybe more importantly, do they continue to bleed talent? Do they lose Oregon and Washington to the Big Ten? Does Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, do they go to the Big 12? Do any of these teams get absorbed by the SEC? I think that a year ago we were talking about, well, the Big 12 is probably done for. They're probably going to fold and you're just going to have the Power Four conferences. You know, the Pac-12 is going to, you know, keep rebuilding. They're bringing in, Lincoln Riley to come in and rebuild USC. Pac-12 is putting it all together. Now you got a lot of people today, and obviously it's super early and people are panicking, but you got a lot of people asking, is this the end of the Pac-12? And I think that it's maybe a more realistic question than it was a year ago about the Big 12.
Yeah, I think it's something, we kind of quickly mentioned before we started recording was like, I mean, there was definitely panic because, I mean, losing Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12 is a huge deal.
Right.
I mean, at least like the Pac-12, you'd look at it, you know, from a talent standpoint, you're kind of like, well, they have the Pac-12 champs who are sticking around that we know Utah, of, right?
Utah
would be there. Oregon's been, if not the most consistent Pac-12 team since the playoff era began. They've made it to a title game, right, in the playoff era. So, like, they have them. Washington's usually been a team that's, you know, been right there. They've made the playoff as well.
Yep.
So, like, you feel like, okay, we're going to be okay. But the problem is like with all these flooding reports about other teams potentially leaving and stuff, and I know it's a lot of speculation, I felt like you heard maybe a little bit less of that when the Big 12 was kind of like, oh, will it fold? There was always like the, oh, would Iowa State and Kansas maybe jump to Big 10? That was kind of like, Iowa State had just kind of, they were on the verge of and now have lost that AAU designation the Big 10 likes to see out of schools. So it was kind of like, maybe, but probably not. Now, with all the speculation about all these guys leaving, like Colorado going right back to the Big 12 where they've been before, like that would make a lot of sense. Like Utah could do the same thing.
Well, let's do that. I'll go through the list of the schools. But okay. We'll just forecast the death of the Pac-12 for the next minute and a half.
Yeah.
I'll go through the schools. You tell me what conference they need to go to. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where you're wrong. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All
right. I mean, go for it.
Arizona.
Good discussion as always. That's Big 12.
Okay. Arizona State.
Big 12 as well.
Cal.
Should probably be, I mean, that should probably be Big 10 if it's going to go to any of the bigger like conferences. I just don't think Big 12. That's the thing. Like for the, like the gritty teams, like the Arizonas, I'm like, yeah, I mean, they're almost there already. Like that makes sense to me with those two. Cal is a harder one to kind of put together. And that's why almost like, you could almost not forecast the death of it, but
we could. I mean, so Berkeley is like not really the, you know, media hotbed. Cal is not really a football school.
No,
I don't know what conference they belong in. I would say it's not a Power Five school.
Might not be. Yeah.
Colorado.
Big 12.
I was going to say Mountain West for Colorado.
That could be too. That could happen as well. I could still see the Big 12 because right they went down. Do they have 12 now?
Big 12.
When you subtract Oklahoma, Texas, and add the four in, do they now have 12? Because at one point I thought, okay, they had 10, right?
I think they've had 10 for a while. Yeah, they were at 10. That they would have been at 5 with the loss of those two. So now they're back up to 12. I think.
I think they are at 12 now again.
So they're Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, West Virginia. That's 8. Plus they're bringing in four new teams.
Yeah.
So that puts them at 12.
So I could definitely see them going like we could easily make it an even 16. Just grab both Arizona schools, grab Utah, grab Colorado.
That would be an immediate boost to the Big 12 and put them right back in the mix. You have the Power Four. Arizona, I think, you know, would be here's the other problem is that the only college sport I care about is football. So there's a bunch of people screaming about college basketball.
Sure.
And those folks are going to be geeked about getting Arizona. And the football fans are like, Arizona,
sure.
Arizona State. Man, get the Sun Devils in. That is going to really help with the football conference. In terms of basketball, and I think this, you know, you look at USC versus UCLA. Hey, you know, it's going to be fantastic having UCLA for, for media, for your new TV deal and all that. And I heard, like, Apple even reached out to the Big Ten today about, like, reigniting contract talks for rights with them.
Shoot.
UCLA is going to be fantastic for Big Ten basketball, which I don't watch and I don't care about. But
you'll see, made an Elite Eight year, 2021? I think they made the Elite Eight. So
I'll take your word for
super,
it.
They're not a super slouch either, which is nice. UCLA, obviously, the better program, though, for sure.
In basketball, yeah.
Yes.
But USC football, especially with Lincoln Riley there, I mean, that is going to be USC has no business not making the playoffs this year, just FYI. If they don't, if they are not right there, you know, as the number 5 seed or, you know, pushing for number 4 seed, I think that is a disappointment for Lincoln Riley. Moving on to the next school, Oregon.
Big 10.
I agree. Has to be a Big 10. Oregon State.
That might be a Mountain Wester.
Yep, that was what I said as well.
That might be a Mountain Wester, unfortunately.
All right. This is a no-brainer. Stanford.
It just feels like a Big Ten school, like just academically and everything. They just
Big Ten.
They scream Big Ten. Yeah,
I got to be honest. Back a few years ago, before I was really into the rest of the Big Ten and kind of only just focusing on my own team, I kept forgetting Stanford wasn't in the Big Ten.
Oh yeah, they are literally the Pac-12's Northwestern, basically. But they're a little better, obviously, at sports. But it's just
that's fantastic like description.
Yeah.
All right.
They're just great school out there. But
Utah, here's an interesting one. Utah,
for me, you could easily argue, I think, going back to Mountain West makes a lot of sense. I still think
they're so good, though. They've been so good.
They got to go Big 12 year. Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you could make the argument, but like at the same time, I would rather be sending like Oregon State there Utah.
Selfishly, I really want Utah in the Big Ten, but I don't think there's any way it's going to happen. That's a Big 12 school through and through.
Yeah.
Washington.
That feels like a Big Ten over anything else.
And then Washington State.
That feels like a Mountain West.
All right. So we didn't pick any school to go to the SEC.
No, I don't think they would. Any of them would.
I don't even think that any of these schools is going to like Conference USA or anything. Like, I think it's all Mountain West, Big 12, and then Big 10. And
100%.
What's going to be interesting? So we picked. Let me see. We picked. Where did we say Colorado was going?
I said Big 12 just because they had been there.
Okay, Big 12. All right. We'll just ink that in. Oregon, Stanford, Washington, I think are the three that we said go to the Big 10.
And you might have to drag along Cal as well just to make it an even four going. Just because, I mean, academically they'll qualify. That would just – it would stink. It'd be kind of just like, you know, it's the filler to keep it even. I just don't know where else they would go.
What is the media or recruiting draw of Berkeley? Do you think there's a big draw or not so much?
I think it's just – I think it's adding another Northwestern. It's boost academics a little bit. You take them to have the Stanford – the game, the Stanford-Cal game to be a Big Ten game. That's basically why you're taking them. I just don't know who else I would take to be the fourth if I was going to take a fourth after those other three.
Well, take somebody not in the Pac-12 then. I mean, I think that there's a big Notre Dame conversation to be had. And I think that anybody who really knows Notre Dame would say there's almost no chance. Now, maybe having Cal there is a draw for Notre Dame. But, maybe. Stanford would make and sense.
USC would also both be.
I don't know if I already said this on the show or if I just said it to you before we started recording, but a big part of me really wonders if where we are eventually heading is you got these two mega conferences and it's the North versus the South, and Ohio State, USC, absolutely. If you get Notre Dame in there as well, that would really solidify this as you got your, whoever is currently the power in the conference right now, it'd be Ohio State. They're the kings of the North, and you have your work cut out for you competing against the fertile recruiting ground that all these Southern schools would have. And it would be nice. I think that if it is heading that direction, the Big Ten should do whatever they can to prop up the Big 12 and cut into the footprint that the SEC can have. Notice that we're 22 minutes into this podcast and have not even mentioned the ACC yet.
Well, I was going to say, if you wanted to bring in an ACC team, I wouldn't even hate bringing in somebody like Pitt, just because gives you a Pitt Penn State game that you could put on the books every year. Another team that's, you know, more.
That'd be a fun rivalry.
Yeah. I would like to see Pitt join if Notre Dame could not. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, obviously, it'd be great to have Clemson in there, but like Clemson would, if you're going to split the twos, they're going to the SEC if you're splitting that conference. Miami for as well. So
let's prop up the ACC. Let's prop up the Big 12. We cannibalize the Pac-12 and let the scraps go to the Mountain West and the Big 12. Not that Arizona State is scraps, but Arizona State is just, I don't know how you talk them into joining the Big 10. It's so far away. So the Big 12 is getting one really, really good school.
Yep.
They're probably also getting Utah, which hurts my heart. If we're talking about other non-Cal schools to explore adding, all right, and thinking outside of football, which is really hard for me to do, what about Gonzaga?
Now that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, wow. That would be very cool for basketball to get them into a conference that almost kind of, as much as like the Big Ten's good in basketball, like postseason wise, tournament wise, they're a letdown. To have the pedigree of Gonzaga the past, you know, well, not even actually, it's probably more like 16, 17 years or so, because I think they had a team back in the 2000s. But like to have them be part of the basketball would be, and I think that's a lot of why people are like, oh, if the Big 12 folds, Kansas would be a great addition to the Big Ten. You just have the football ride the coattails of the basketball program into the Big Ten and you add another, you know, school there. So I could see, I understand the idea of that.
One of the questions you have to ask when you're exploring any team joining the Big Ten, I think this even extends to Washington and Oregon, who I think would be accepted in a heartbeat, but still, it's worth having the conversation. You have to look at what do these programs offer the Big Ten. And I think that there's the question of, like, does Nebraska go back to the Big 12? I kind of think they should. I don't think that the Big 10 or Nebraska is benefited by having Nebraska here. I think that they were better off in the Big 12. You look at like when we added Rutgers, you know, nobody really was interested in the Scarlet Knights, but the impact that that had on recruiting, you know, over in the DMV in New York, the media deals in New York, massive, a huge part of what has allowed the Big Ten to keep neck and neck with the SEC. USC and UCLA clearly provide that same advantage with the media market out there. And I'll just say, I think that this helps Big Ten recruiting. You know, even Ohio State, you could ask the question, like, does this hurt Ohio State, Michigan, whoever, in terms of that USC is now in your conference? I don't think it does. I think that with LA and just more broadly speaking, California now being in the Big Ten footprint, that helps recruiting for all these other programs. And you know what you can sell to them is, hey, you get to go back home once or twice a year to play in a game that your friends and family back in LA can come watch instead of having to, you know, drive to Purdue or somewhere else. So I think that's huge. I think that if you're looking at Cal, the only thing that you can really say that they bring is that academic standard. And is that enough to get them into the Big Ten?
It's tough
to say.
I would really lean no. Like I said, I feel like it's an interesting conversation to see if anybody leaves the Big Ten as well, because then it kind of like opens that door if you want to, you know, dip into like elsewhere. Like if you're really pushing for Notre Dame, like as hard as possible, it like they're gonna want an even number. That's probably gonna want they're gonna want to have like their little pods. So like,
well, that's why I think that's. That's a whole conversation that we should have on this show. Do we want to talk about division realignment, or do we want to have a Notre Dame conversation right now? We'll do both. Which one do we want to do first?
I would say Notre Dame first. We're
going to take a quick break here for our sponsors to get a word in, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have the Notre Dame conversation and talk about what would it take to get Notre Dame to join the Big Ten. You're listening to Cheese and Packers.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, Notre Dame. Let's talk about rivalries, because adding USC to the Big Ten is a massive draw for Notre Dame, because that is their number one rival. Their current annual rivalries right now. USC, Navy, Stanford. We already talked about Stanford makes a lot of sense to bring to the Big Ten. If you have two of those teams in the Big Ten, right there, that is a massive draw to the Notre Dame fan base to get your school into this conference. Let's talk about some other historical rivalries. Purdue, Michigan State, Pitt. You already pitched Pitt. Army, that's not happening. Northwestern, Michigan, Boston College, that's not happening. They're staying in the ACC.
Yeah.
Miami, also not happening. But so USC and Stanford, Purdue, Michigan State, Northwestern, Michigan. That's six teams right there that they have rivalries with, plus the two that we pitched five, because I accidentally counted Stanford. Five already in the conference, plus potential additions of Stanford and Pitt that make a lot of sense. Let's also talk about significant series rivalries that they've had in the past. Let's talk about, first of all, Florida State, I think, has to top the list.
Yeah, I think that's
Notre Dame and Florida State have played, I think, 11 times, starting in 1981. Of course, famously, in 1993, you had the game of the century. The teams were number one, number two. Huge game. After that, Florida State went on to win five of the next six games. The only one that Notre Dame won was, I believe, 02. So 94, 95, 03, 11, 14. Florida State won all those. The most recent three, Notre Dame has won. 2018, 2020, 2021. These two teams do not like each other. The programs like having their teams play. Fan bases, there's some bad blood there. That is a draw for the ACC, who is it still currently that Notre Dame is a member in every sport except for football, or is that only a COVID thing?
No, they are. Yeah. I believe they're still ACC basketball. Yeah, that's the thing, right, with Notre Dame that makes it a little more complicated, because technically, right, they're not an ACC member in football. However, they do play, I believe, almost say like either a third or even maybe a little bit more than that of their schedule is always ACC opponents. This year, they have four of them on the schedule. I believe, if I'm not miscounting, they have North Carolina, they have Syracuse, they have Clemson, and they have Boston College this year. Okay. So they do kind of almost play it, like you said, they kind of play their schedule a little bit in pods almost, and one third of that being, you know, okay, we'll play four ACC teams a year, which is fine. And I think that might be kind of where they're like, yeah, we like to have this. We like to have kind of this relationship with the ACC. We kind of, you know, lean a little bit that way when we play some football. Like, that's how it's going to be. However, right, this year, there's going to be an opportunity first weekend of the season, not the week zero, first weekend of the season. They are going to Columbus to play Ohio State,
which is going to be massive. You got Marcus Freeman, the new head coach of Notre Dame, former Ohio State player. First game he's ever going to coach as a head coach is going to be in Ohio Stadium against his former team. If the dude does not weep at some point during the game, then he is made of sterner stuff than I am.
It's going to be incredible. Like, this
it's a home and home series too. Next year, they're going to play in South Bend.
After two of those games,
with fan bases that already don't like each other, Ohio State and Notre Dame fan bases, they don't get along. The teams never, ever play. They play like every 25 years. They go head to head in recruiting battles all the time. And the fans detest each other.
I'm just like thinking about like a Big Ten super conference pod where Notre Dame's in one with Ohio State, with Michigan State. You throw USC in there for fun. Like, with Notre Dame, will play them like every year. They'll find a way to do that and just like have all this, because the home and home is going to be, like we said, it's going to be insane. Like, those two games should be enough where you're like, listen, like, look at what we're making here. Look at what we can make a game maybe every year. Potentially,
it's going to be
want to have it.
I think that the only expectation for 2022 should be that Notre Dame is going to try and hang on for dear life against Ohio State. But in 2023, things could be really different. I think you give Marcus Freeman a year to get things rolling. He has a really fantastic couple of recruiting classes coming in. Ohio State's going to be starting a new quarterback in 2023. CJ Stroud is going to be in the NFL for some team. Tables might be reversed. That could be a really, really good game in 2023. And, man, you just think about what the TV numbers are going to be for that. This could be enough to persuade the AD, man, we gotta reconsider our whole Big Ten thing, because getting in there, you know, and also Notre Dame has a rivalry with Penn State. They have, believe it or not, they have a rivalry with Nebraska. I didn't even know about this. I saw this on Wikipedia. Nebraska leads the series, actually, 8-7-1. They have been playing since 2025. Cornhuskers and Fighting Irish apparently have a pretty significant history. 1973 Orange Bowl, obviously, you know, not super recent memory, but I'm just thinking of every possible reason to throw at Notre Dame to say, come on, come play with the big boys.
Well, and I think even more interesting is the schedule this year as well. Like, so I looked a little bit further on to their future schedules. Mm-hmm. Looks like they can play up to six games in the ACC. So that might be like where they're kind of like, okay, they've almost swung themselves that far. However, this year on the schedule, Cal, Stanford, USC, all three are on the schedule this year.
Man.
Boy, if that's not some kind of, depending on what Stanford and Cal do, that's not some kind of like interesting omen of sorts. But like, I mean, even again, they play BYU too. They have kind of a thing there. They kind of go every few years and they'll play that game. Like that's, you know, BYU going to the Big 12. The Big 10 kind of wants to kind of back them a little bit as well. It gives some more options for crossovers if you're going to make that happen. Like there is so much to the Notre Dame thing, but like,
and man, Brady
they have a lot of games set up. I mean, their schedule is way out there. Just looking at 2026, Lambeau Field playing Wisconsin, open the season. Like they're just the opportunities that you could have to play the Wisconsins, to play the Iowa States every year, Michigan, Penn State, like, and still have your USC game. It's just the possibilities are endless if you can find a way.
Brady Quinn tweeted earlier, Notre Dame has benefited from a national schedule, East Coast to West Coast, through their independence. That is now offered by the Big Ten. Don't underestimate the impact of alumni events and contributions with a national schedule. If you can offer that along with greater TV money, and the shrugging emoji. What Notre Dame has wanted, there's the academic prestige that they pride themselves with, that they want to be associated with. They want a shot at the playoffs. They want a home for Olympic sports, and they want a TV partner. The Big Ten, more than it ever has in the past, maybe offers all three of those.
This is true.
I think, you know, for a long time, the Big Ten, you know, would have been really interested in Notre Dame, who didn't show any interest back. I think that maybe the Big Ten has dressed themselves up pretty enough that they can maybe ask Notre Dame for a dance.
I agree. I mean, if not now, then
it's when?
Then never.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like this is it. And if you can get, and I know like Notre Dame, Oregon is not a thing. Right. That's not like something where you're like, oh, that's a big, but like, it's still a huge draw, like an Oregon Notre Dame game every couple seasons would be great too. Like, this is just, like you said, it's east to west. If you can find a way to even bring Pitt along, maybe as well, like it gives you a little bit of a dip into the ACC as well. That's coming over with you. And to have, a schedule that you can be like, we'll play Pitt and Penn State this year. We'll have the USC game on there. You know, we'll be going to, maybe we'll go to Madison. You know, we'll hit Nebraska as well this year. And just have, like, all those options if you have a super conference like this. 100%. And I do think, I can't imagine that Big Ten Network and Fox have something cooked up.
All the media deals, I think they're going to be press pause on right now. The Big Ten's going to say, you know what? I think that we can get way more money out of you than we have previously been talking about. Sure. John Wilner, who's the guy who broke the story this afternoon about USC and UCLA, he has an insider source who says that those two schools could top $100 million annually in media rights in the Big Ten. For comparison, looks like in 2020, they made roughly $34 million per school. So you're 100 and what is that? Whatever the math is, it's triple what you were making just by joining the Big Ten. Captain Real Estate on Twitter, at Mel1SPE, tweeted at me and said, the Big Ten targets those large TV markets. Look for them to reach out to TCU and SMU also. I don't hate the idea. I wonder a little bit if that's too bold to reach into Texas, but it makes sense. Yeah. You would like to have geographically, it's such a stretch, but how cool would it be to have a Big Ten footprint in Texas for recruiting? I mean, that is going toe to toe. That is bigger and bolder than the SEC has ever attempted.
TCU makes a ton of sense. That I do think it is right up the alley of the Big Ten. That they feel like a team that you could see in that conference 100%. SMU maybe not as much. That has the Big 12 feel to it. We'll see if that, you know, we'll see what happens if the super conference, if they kind of mold into somebody else and then, you know, and get kind of absorbed. But I do think, yeah, that would be extremely bold. I like the TCU idea. Wonder maybe if Baylor would be the other one that would be, you know, if they're going to mold away and kind of, you know, everybody goes their separate ways even after this.
Yeah.
They're still forming stuff in the Big 12. Like if Baylor would be,
because Baylor doesn't feel like an SEC school. I'll say, that doesn't seem like a natural marriage.
And I don't know. It doesn't feel like, and like what stinks about like, as we move to this, like big realignment stuff. And if you have teams like, you know, Oregon State, Washington State, all of them go to like Mountain West or Big 12, you know, you could lose some of these like October, November, you know, Pac-12 rivalry games that you kind of like to see. And that's what kind of stinks. You know, are we going to get the platypus game every year? You know, like, is that going to be, you know, is there going to be openings for that? Or like how the schedules are going to be set up is interesting. And that's kind of like losing some of the Power Five stinks in that regard, but like also like,
well, again, I think you touch on a little bit of fans have a lot of frustration about all the reshuffling in college football and how college football looks less and less like the sport that they have ever remembered. I do just want to acknowledge to the listeners who are not having fun with this and not excited about this, even though you and I are excited about this. I understand and I sympathize that, yeah, things are certainly changing. And I would expect the Big Ten of all conferences to value that a bit. And I think they will. I think that you will see efforts made by the Big Ten, even if not by the SEC, but by the Big Ten, to try and retain a bit of what the sport has been and has looked like. No other conference, to the extent that the Big Ten has prioritized doing things slowly, doing things the right way, trying to retain as much of history and tradition as the Big Ten has. So just wanted to throw that out there. I do wonder, I think this is, here's a huge question. Does the football change? All right. You're bringing in these California teams. Does the Big Ten football that's ground and pound, you know, the Midwest has in the last few years has started to become more of a fertile quarterback breeding ground than it has been in years past. You think Drew Aller, who just went to Penn State, what's the guy's name? Dante Moore, I think. He's a Detroit kid. Expected to maybe be going to Notre Dame. not sure. We'll see. But you're starting to see the quarterback talent emerge out of the Big Ten footprint. Does the football change because USC, UCLA, you get these warm climate teams coming into the Big Ten, cold weather, snow. I mean, this is going to be interesting watching these two styles of football meet head to head.
Yeah, I don't know if like it's I'm gonna be hard pressed to believe that Mr. Kirk Ferentz and Mr. Paul Christ are going to be like, yeah, we got to spread the ball out. I don't see it.
Well, for however many years Paul Christ is still in Wisconsin, I think it's only a matter of time before Jim Leonard takes
and
over.
And Ferentz is obviously getting up there in age as well. So, like, that's, I mean, how many years does he have left? I mean, but, like, short-term-wise, I feel like it's just probably – but I do think, like, again, Fleck and mm-hmm. you know, Purdue has made that move, and they've kind of been more spread, and they've done a lot of things that way. Like, yep. I do think there is that movement offensively, stylistically. I think more
when
teams
that cold
be
weather rolls
that.
In, all of a sudden the ground and pound is super effective. We just saw it last year when Michigan swept the floor with my beloved Buckeyes. You saw how all of a sudden you introduce some snow and cold weather, and that aired out offense is not as potent as it is indoors at, you know, in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. It's what you need to compete with the SEC and the ACC when you're down in the playoffs. But up in the Big Ten, you got to be able to run both kinds of offense. And I'm interested to see, you know, maybe in the warmer months, USC is like steamrolling. And then toward the end of the season, all of a sudden they're like, oh, come on. What the heck? Why is Nebraska running it down our throats?
That would be so much like USC going to Kinnick in November. Terrible place to go to in November. Especially, you know, if you're on the cusp of playoff contention, you hate to be going there. But yeah, I mean, heck, like, yeah, just all those possibilities. I know that Penn State does the whiteout game a little earlier in the schedule, but just imagine if they say, like, you know what?
Yeah.
USC's coming Halloween. To town in November. We're saving it for that. The snow's going to be falling. Like, ooh. Yeah, I do think that would
murder.
Be. It would be, it's going to be so interesting to see how some of these guys make that adjustment. Like, and like Illinois as well, like Brett Bielema, that's a former Wisconsin coach right there as well in this conference. That's probably not going to shy away from, listen, like, hey, we got UCLA coming to town. They're not ready for this downhill stuff that we're about to throw at them. This is power. All right. We got a fullback out here. And
this might really elevate. UCLA's
like, who's that?
Big Ten football at every level. You look at over the last like 3 years, pretty much every Big Ten program has had better recruiting than they had in years past. The average star rating has gone up for nearly every single program in the Big Ten over the in the last 3 years compared to like the prior 10 years. And you look at, say, you know, Ryan Day came in to Ohio State, revamped their entire offense after they got embarrassed by Clemson in that playoff game where they put up 0 points.
Yeah.
Brought in pro style quarterbacks, high flying wide receivers. And what you saw, and it took a year or two, but you saw the rest of the Big Ten start to catch up to that. And they needed to evolve to keep up with Ohio State. I wonder if you see the Big Ten as a whole evolve to where they can run both styles of offense. You get the ground and pound for the cold weather months. You get the high flying for when you got to go play those warmer schools. I wonder if it's adapt or die, and you see them really elevate their game to the next level, but become more well-rounded. Maybe that makes the Big Ten as a whole a stronger football conference.
Yeah, I think, like we mentioned, I do think there are some schools that are making that approach. And I think if it only takes maybe one or two recruiting classes, and some of those schools are going to kind of maybe punch teams in the mouth a little bit. And some of these teams, like maybe Penn State, might be like one of the most stark proponents of, like, you know, we've been kind of run and play defense. We really have never had a quarterback.
Right.
If we're being honest, maybe Hackenberg, I guess. But like, they're going to have to be like, yeah, we gotta find a single caller. Like, we have to do it. And like, Alabama eventually did that. They have eventually, like, we got the quarterback now. Like, there will be, again, Mel Tucker, if they can survive up Michigan State, they're going to have to do that as well. Like I said, Penn State's going to have to do it. Wisconsin's probably going to have to do it eventually. Like, if they want to push USC, if they want to push, speculating here, Oregon, if they want to push Washington, like, you're going to have to do it eventually.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Ohio State has made that adjustment. Brian Hartline getting all these receivers in here, like you said. They have Stroud's there now at quarterback. Dylan Raiola is going to be insane when he gets there, I think, on campus.
I'm so excited for Dylan Raiola.
Like, that, they're doing it. And I do think, though, the allure of bringing in these other teams is going to be like, okay, like, this is legit. USC and Ohio State are legit with these quarterbacks. And maybe some of these Cali quarterbacks are like, listen, I can go,
right,
you know, be that guy in this conference that's got USC and Ohio State. And that's where maybe you'll see the Michigan or the Penn State or the Wisconsin finally get over the hump, because these quarterbacks are realizing, like, this conference is legit.
And I think that's,
you can go up against schools, and I can be the guy that kind of flips the script for a Penn State, for a Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. I think that's already started. Penn State has Drew Aller. Michigan got JJ McCarthy. Maryland has Talia Tungvaloa. Wisconsin, for whatever it's worth, they had Graham Mertz, who when he first came in, people were super excited about him. Not for nothing, like, Purdue has had okay quarterback play. They really have.
They have.
We got to have a
sprinkle in some receivers too.
Man, Purdue, Penn State, they get it with those receivers.
Maryland's going to be high flying this year too. There'd be no joke on offense. They're going to be
Maryland.
There'd be no joke on offense. They'll probably be not great on defense, but they'll be putting up points, that's for sure. So yeah, it's going to be interesting offensively.
We got to have a division realignment conversation before we wrap up. But first, we're going to take one more sponsor break. We'll be right back here on Cheese and Packers. Okay. Talking about division realignment, and before you start throwing around team names, you have to answer the question of, are there going to be divisions? Because Pac-12 just got rid of divisions. Now the Pac-12 is going to be defunct in a couple of years, but it would have been a cool experiment to watch. And I think in 2022, it's still going to be interesting, because you're going to have USC plays Utah, I think, in the regular season, and then expected to meet as the 1-2 in the conference championship game. You'd expect that's going to be interesting to see. And some of the other conferences have been expected to follow suit in getting rid of divisions. The rumored scheduling was going to be a 3-5-5 format in the Big Ten, where you get three protected rivalry games, Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, help me out here. Who are Indiana. Some of the other?
I think Indiana, Indiana, Purdue would probably be Oak and Bucket.
So every program gets three protected rivalry games. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana, Ohio State, maybe is your third one that's protected. Maybe Michigan State. Then you got five conference games, and then five out-of-conference games. That was what was proposed when you had 14 teams. Going to change. Since you're bringing in two schools and potentially more, do you do away with divisions altogether? Or now that you have maybe more really good teams in the conference, do you stick with divisions and just try and rebalance them so that they're maybe a bit more even and you don't have the Big Ten East and the Big Ten Least?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very clear, obviously, at this point with the Big Ten's two divisions, that one division has pretty much it's everybody on the east side. And it's like, oh, well, maybe Wisconsin or Iowa could play them tough for a quarter and a half in the title game. But like, that's about it. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I do think I can't imagine they sit with two divisions. I don't think they'll sit with that, even if, like, you know, people, well, they bring USC over to the West and that makes the West better. Like, it does. certainly. I do think so. Like, if you were just saying, like, right now, with the two ads that they're doing, I think the biggest, what they would do is, right, because if 14 right now, you have 7-7, USC, UCLA would be on the west side. I think you'd move Purdue over. I think that's probably the one you'd move over. You can have Purdue and Indiana being on the same side again. That works
things for USC,
very nicely.
Though, you bring them to the Big Ten, and they're punching themselves out all year against, like, the teams that give the Big Ten a not great name.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, but everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, again, they'll obviously play crossover games. But yeah, I don't know. If they stay with that and they were only adding two, like, think about 3 years down the road, you'd kind of be like, all right, well, it's 2026. It's like, all right, well, you know, is it going to be Michigan versus USC or Ohio State versus USC? And that's kind of like where they're going to be at, where it's like, well,
that's the appeal of pods.
Yeah, they could go the pod route, which, again, there's been talk that that's what the SEC might do. Yeah. When Oklahoma and Texas join, there's kind of like a look of how that there's stuff out there of how it would look. Actually, it looks pretty good. I think there's maybe one pod that's kind of like bad. And that's about it. But like,
for people who don't understand, like, the pods are reshuffled every couple of years based on who's good and who's bad.
Yeah. Like, the proposal of, like, what it would, I'm trying to find, like, the what was proposed as, like, the pod would. Okay. So one of them, these were the four in the SEC that they had come up with, I think, last year when this was, you know, starting to become news. It'd be Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina. You'd have Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, right? You would keep that Bama and Auburn, Bama, Tennessee rivalries, the same pod. LSU, Mississippi State, Mississippi, Texas A&M, and then you'd have Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas. Seems pretty balanced overall. Pod C with LSU, the Mississippis, and A&M feels like the most chaotic one of all of them. And then you have kind of the two established teams in the other ones. And you would have a 9-game conference schedule format in this. So you'd play the other three teams in your pod, play two games against each of the other pods, and you would have hosting every team at least once every four seasons. So that's a lot to throw out, but that's kind of how it would look with 16. And the Big Ten is right now with these two ads, they're at 16 now. Now, I don't know how to do this with keeping the rivalries, because you would have to, you can't have Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State in a pod. That's just, you can't do
that. Sure you can. I'd watch that.
You can.
Who cares about everybody?
A lot of people would love it.
Who wouldn't love it is any of those teams who want to make it into the playoffs. And
listen, if Michigan State is ticked, if that's the pod, they're ticked. That's potentially
three
losses.
Together a good team. It is entirely plausible that the redheaded stepchild of that group actually ends up being Michigan after a couple of years, because Michigan State is putting things together under Mel Tucker.
Possibly. And then, like you said, Penn State's got their quarterback. So maybe it's Michigan who's ticked off about being in that pod, right? Good. So you kind of have to curate it to be the point where, like, maybe Penn State's not in that pod, potentially. And you have them with... Boy, that...
All right, I got an idea.
Yikes.
Here's how we do it.
It's not great.
All right, we're gonna do a draft. All right, it's not a snake draft. It's just we'll flip a coin for who gets to go first. All right.
Okay.
Here, I don't have a coin, so I'm gonna Google coin flip online.
There you go.
We'll do a draft. All right, you call heads or tails.
Heads.
You win. It was heads. So you get to go first.
Okay.
We're gonna do legends and leaders.
All right.
This is a suggestion by John Alft on Twitter. He asked, are USC and UCLA gonna be legends or leaders? So shout out to John Alft. We're gonna do legends and leaders. You wanna be legends or leaders?
I'll be legends.
Okay. You're legends. You have the first pick in the draft. Who are you taking?
I'm gonna take Ohio State.
You snake. All
right. He took him right in front of JJ, who obviously wanted them, but, like, come on. If you're gonna pick anybody right now, that's who you got to pick.
All right. So then I'm obviously gonna take USC. So second pick to you.
I gotta take Michigan just to make sure I have him there. Gotta have him on that. in that side.
I hate you, but also you're preserving the rivalry, and I
it has to stay there.
Next, so,
like, if you had gotten the first pick, and if we had snaked it, there's no way I could take Michigan away from if you had picked Ohio State first. There's just no way.
So like, I'm gonna take Penn State. All right, so you pick number five to you.
I gotta take Michigan State.
All right, Michigan State to you. Oh man, I'm hating how this is turning out. So I am gonna take. I'm probably taking UCLA. Oh okay. No! But if I take UCLA, then I know who you're gonna take next.
Yeah,
the problem is that there's only two clear teams left to take here. So did I take
rivalry
UCLA,
preservation? How about this? You pick a good team. I'll make sure that you have the rivalry is preserved. UCLA is yours, but you can have a top team that you'd pick here.
Oh, so you're saying you're not going to pick UCLA?
I will not. UCLA is off the table for me.
Okay.
Make sure they're in the leaders with USC.
All right, then I'm taking Wisconsin next. Okay. So pick number, what is it, seven to you?
Iowa.
All right, and I'll take UCLA.
Okay. Now it gets fun.
Yep.
I'm going to take Maryland.
All right.
I'm going to take Maryland.
All right. So I have a bunch of Western teams plus Penn State at this point. So you're taking Maryland.
It's going to look weird.
I think I'm going to have to take, I think I'll take Northwestern next. Okay.
Okay. Wow. It's definitely between two.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, my Illinois listeners are going to be ticked. No, it's not that. They're not them. Listen, guys, if they were better, I'd pick them. Man. I'm probably going to pick I'm going to Indiana.
Indiana to you. And I will say I think you overlooked a team because I'm taking Minnesota.
Yeah, that was the other team.
All right. You're up again.
Yikes.
Somebody because there's only four teams.
There's only four left, right?
But I can only think of three. I forgot.
I'm picking Purdue.
Purdue to you. You're preserving Ohio State, Purdue.
Yeah.
And that
Maryland
means,
Purdue is going to be a great.
And you have Indiana Purdue, Maryland Purdue. You're preserving Indiana Purdue. Man, these divisions are actually shaping up pretty good. So that leaves.
You might have to. It leaves Illinois, Rutgers, and Nebraska.
Right. I'm going to take. All right, I'm actually taking Rutgers. Give me Greg Schiano.
I was gonna take Rutgers. Dang it. Okay.
Maybe I made a mistake here though, because Rutgers is so far to the east.
Yeah.
And I have all these West Coast. Maybe I'm doing a disservice.
Maybe
you I will. I'm not gonna take Rutgers. I'm gonna take
Illinois. Getting picked last. Yeah,
Illinois and Nebraska. I'll take Illinois. I'll take Illinois.
Wow. Okay. So either what is Nebraska, Iowa, really? I should take Rutgers.
You should take Rutgers. Yeah. So you got Rutgers. Yeah. All right. So here are our divisions. I think they look good. Okay. So you have Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland, Indiana, Purdue, and Rutgers. That is not a bad division.
I like it.
I have USC, Penn State, Wisconsin, UCLA, Northwestern, Minnesota, Illinois, and Nebraska. Now, I will say, none of those are the teams that I would have just picked if it was my preference. But just the way that it shook out with you getting the coin toss, you took everybody that I would have wanted to take. I mean, down the entire list. I think Nebraska is maybe the only USC. But I'm just saying, I would have taken all the teams you took.
I think it kind of helps because it was like, okay, well, once you have USC, it's kind of like, all right, well, me taking UCLA would be absolutely silly. Don't do that. Like,
right.
Preserving Rutgers on one side of it, you still get Ohio State and both Michigans. I like USC, Penn State, and Wisconsin in the same I like that. And like, so UCLA gets better. Boom, right there as well. Like,
now that we have these, how it turned out. Let's add in Oregon, Washington. Who are the other ones we said we were taking? Stanford, and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Oh my gosh.
Let's, okay. Well, because that right there makes you the super conference.
Yeah,
that's it.
I know. I agree.
That right there is awesome. The SEC has to respond.
Yeah, it's true.
So we'll add four teams. So we're not going to do a draft. We're just going to discuss where these four teams fit in best. Stanford, I kind of feel like they fit in best with leaders here. Maybe.
Okay. So USC. You said we have Washington.
Well, but yeah, all the powerhouse teams are in.
Well,
the Legends right
we
now.
We know where Notre Dame's going. I think
Notre Dame has to go in Legends. Have
I think
to.
They do.
Although then they're not in the same division as USC, so you got to preserve that rivalry.
However, I do think there's an easy way to just make sure that game happens every year. Not where, like, crossover wise, it's kind of annoying where Notre Dame will be like, oh, I don't know. Actually, maybe they do have to stay over there.
All right, let's put Notre Dame in leaders because you have to have, it's got to be as top heavy for does the that, leaders as it is for the legends.
Does that put Stanford in the leaders then? Because with, Notre Dame and Notre Dame? USC are there.
So that would put Oregon and Washington in with the legends.
It would.
I guess that makes sense.
It would. I think you have to. Yeah, I think either way, I think those are the pairs you have to take to each.
So you're looking at your powerhouse teams in each division. For the legends, you have Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Oregon.
Shoot, yeah.
For the leaders, it's USC, Notre Dame, Penn State, and a little bit of a toss-up. You know, how good is Wisconsin on an average year? UCLA, maybe.
Probably,
UCLA is not really ever expected to compete.
Probably Wisconsin. But on a given season, Wisconsin has beaten Michigan State, Michigan. I think they could give Oregon all they could handle too. So as much as it's like, oh, Wisconsin's, you know, kind of maybe a step down, it's like, yeah, I mean, they could push anybody not named Ohio State on the other side, in my opinion. So
I like it. I like these two divisions we came up with. We're over an hour, so we got to wrap this up. But I think one last thing we got to just touch on here, because we already talked about the possibility of, you know, maybe you do away with divisions, and you know, you're just a number one, number two championship game. There are certainly pros and cons to that. We've talked about playoff implications, talked about, you know, you don't want your best teams all playing each other because you don't want them to just cannibalize each other to the point where they can't make it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We talked about all that. We have to talk about NIL and specifically a pay-to-play tier that the top teams can opt into. Ohio State's going to opt in, Bama, Texas, USC, Clemson. They're all going to – Georgia. They're going to opt into these pay-to-play or this pay-to-play tier that's not – conference based, I don't think, and they can pay their players. I think that you know, the first thing that you other fan bases freak out about is like, oh my gosh, you know, so Purdue's gonna have to go play Ohio State, who's gonna have all these way better recruits. Like, how fair is that? What you mean, like, it currently is right now? Like, come on, what's actually gonna change? What's gonna change is that these players can't just jump ship at the drop of a hat. All of Oklahoma's players can't just leave and go to USC and leave Oklahoma high and dry. Players are going to get paid. They're going to have contracts. They have to stay for the course of their contract like you do in the pros so that these teams can roster build effectively. I think this is going to happen. I think that this is being seriously talked about. And you would have, not in this proposed conference that includes like Oregon and stuff, but in the actual one, like USC and UCLA are Big Ten members. Like it has been inked. It's going to happen in 2024.
Yep.
You're going to have Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, USC, Penn State. Those four teams for sure are going to opt into the pay to play tier.
Yep.
Notre Dame, if they join, certainly going to do that.
Yep.
Oregon, you would expect.
Yes.
Probably Wisconsin would do it. I don't know for sure. How seriously does Wisconsin actually want to, you know, compete for the playoffs? Because you're gonna get playoff expansion in 5-6 years or whatever. You're gonna have 12 team playoffs. This is all gonna happen.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't think it's gonna change the face of college football as much as it sounds.
I mean, if you're gonna throw Wisconsin, you might throw Iowa in there. I mean, they just got a 5-star tackle, top tackle in the country. For next year's recruiting class. So maybe those two join. If not, though, like you said, I mean, that's what, six?
Six
if you count Oregon and Notre Dame additions, or was it five? Maybe it was five.
It's six if you count in Oregon and Notre Dame.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, you have those six, and then you said you had like Alabama, probably Georgia, probably Miami, probably Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
So how many teams would you Florida get State. Into that? Yeah, Florida State, would Oklahoma,
you're probably
Texas,
looking at around 30 teams, I think.
You think 30? Maybe it is. Maybe
I mean, there's 12 playoff spots, so you want a little more than that in competing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're going to get 4 or 5 teams from each conference, I think, depending on what the Big 12 does. SEC might be a little bit more than that, but I think you're looking at around 30 teams. Be interesting.
Yeah. There's
and crazy. Group of five teams are still going to be able to compete for the playoffs. But
let me be the first to advocate for North Dakota State making a leap.
they got to get into a leap. FBS
Come
football
on.
First.
We got to make the leap into FBS. Let's do that. Let's do that.
All right. He is Jake Shavink. I am JJ Leahy. Thank you so much for tuning into this special edition podcast. I had a blast talking to Jake. I'm going to try and talk him into doing something like this again in the future. I don't know if we're going to ever have a full-blown college football show. Totally depends on if you guys even enjoy this. If you hated this, if we get like, 100 downloads and then 3 people tweet at me and say, I don't know why you talked about that for an hour and 10 minutes. That sucked. We're never doing this again. But I had fun talking to Jake. I'd love to do this again. Follow, Jake on Twitter. You are what, Jake? Is it Jake Shavink NFL?
Jake NFL Draft.